welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast. Scotty, what's up?
Nothing's up with me, but the real question is, like, what's up with you? Happy birthday.
My joints are screaming. I remember nothing. It's just the normals of old age, you know? But really, Jordan year. Big time. Absolutely nothing feels different. Hopefully it goes better than 22. I had some hiccups in 22, but hopefully 23 goes a bit smoother. All right. I don't even know if I have any Yankee stuff. Now that I'm like, I have like maybe one. Yeah, I've got one. I think you have something else.
I have two. Could have been a third, but we're doing this. Like, why? A little bit of the reason why I wanted to record later, but I realized our timings didn't match up. So if I want to go with the first thing. So the first big thing is that, Mr. Anthony Volpe did get ranked as the number one shortstop prospect in all of baseball. The only Yankee prospect to hit top 10 on any positions list, which is a bit of a shock. Jason Dominguez was 10 last year and then went down. But I think that's, I don't know if that's a read. I feel
that,
like
that could mean that there's just, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but there's just like an influx maybe of outfielders that have.
Yeah. I looked at the list. I think there was only like one or two from last year that
stayed on the list.
They were getting pulled up to the majors were getting pulled up to the majors. I think there's only like one or two. So yeah. Most of the list stayed relatively the same. And if an outfielder had a hell of a year, then they're going to get moved up. In the same boat, we are now going to get, as we record this on Thursday, we record this midday on Thursday. Tonight, they're actually releasing the top 100. So
he'll make that. No problem.
Keep an eye out for the little posts that's related to Volpe being ranked probably top 10, and then
I was gonna say maybe top 5. 50.
I think top 5. I have him, again, I'm very good at this prediction things. I have him at 4.
Yeah. I think what's so interesting with it all is that even with that, us and a lot of other people within like the Yankee fans are still thinking he's going to end up at second base.
Yeah.
So again, I get confused on how you qualify as a prospect, even if you have major league time. Like, is Oswaldo and Oswald still going to be prospects? I know that there's a specific, it's like either amount of at-bats or something like that. So I think Oswaldo might have aged out of prospect. But I don't think Oswald Peraza is still, has.
Yeah. I don't know the fine line between prospect and rookie as well. Like, I knew.
Oh, yeah.
Like whatever, 2020 and 2021, Randy Arozarena tore up 2020 and then was still a rookie 2021.
Yeah.
But then, well, like,
2020
this year,
was also a weird season.
Yeah. But, like, this year, Oswaldo was over by, like, 13 at-bats, was into qualification for rookie of the year by like 13 at bats or something like that. So if he didn't have 13 at bats, he very much could have gotten this future year. But it was it's way too situational for me to understand. I don't even try.
Like,
thing is, I think most of the prospects that it did look at, they had little time up in the majors. So I think it's probably like roughly about a month age of if you're up there, or if they're not going to count September call-ups as.
I remember when I was in Somerset, summer of 21, Wander Franco had aged out of being the top prospect because he had enough time at the major league level, so it bumped Adley Rutschman up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember. I can picture myself doing the stand-up talking about how Wander Franco aged out by doing blank, but I don't remember what the blank was.
Yeah.
But
no, like, I'm looking now. I'm going to go through, like, I just looked up first baseman. Number one is Tristan Casas. Tristan Casas had time up with the Sox.
He's probably going to be their starting first baseman this year.
Yeah. And so, like, no, but most of them are ETA 2023. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look at all the other ones to see if I know any of them. Outfielders, I'm going to have the best chance of understanding. I think one of them, yeah, Corbin Carroll, who was pulled up. He had a good amount of time, actually, I thought, with the D-backs.
And then I know that, like...
But that's actually where I'm gonna look him up. I'm going to look him up to see how long.
Time period with Seattle is weird. Because he got pulled up and then brought down, then pulled up and brought down. Is it in a row?
So Carroll got 104 at bats this past season. So he got 104 at bats this past season. So I don't know exactly what limits somebody as a prospect to. I think it might be that whole rookie thing as well.
Yeah.
Of like it's like 150 at bats or something like that, I thought. And so there's a few people like that. Also shocking, you have another D-backs in the outfield crew, Drew Jones.
He wasn't just drafted this year.
Yeah.
I guess they're really betting on the genetics for that one.
But then again, that's kind of what you saw with Jason Dominguez as well. We just picked him up in that 16. He was like number 5 or some shit like that. Like,
you're like, you have not seen him actually play baseball in real life.
Yeah.
Any of you. You've seen him in a batting cage. Yeah, I'm not concerned about Dominguez slipping from that list. I do laugh at the fact that Volpe is going to play second base and they're like, best shortstop prospect.
Yeah. which is interesting. But again, same thing of where does Peraza will probably make top 100. Dominguez is going to make top 100 and Volpe is going to make top 10, no doubt.
We just continue to have this same reoccurring issue with the Yankees. The same one that we had with Didi is that we have too many infielders and we're not getting rid of the ones we should have.
Yeah.
Josh Donaldson.
In a fun, but not really. Oh, I lost him.
Fun, but not really.
Not really. They had, so it was all the lists for all the positions, and I want to make sure I get the right positions. Yeah, the top left-handed pitcher prospects, number 3, Ken Waldichuk.
Yeah, go Chuck!
Which, you know, again, amazing. We always like to keep track of Yankee prospects that go elsewhere. But, you know, that could say Ken Waldichuk, comma Yankees, and not Athletics.
It will. I don't that's the funniest, like when we were making our trades with the A's, like anytime anybody makes a trade with the A's, it's like hold on to them for like 4 years and then when you don't feel like paying them, we'll take them back.
Yeah.
Because they're never gonna pay them.
Yeah.
Anything else on that list?
I'm looking. There really wasn't much that I felt like was overly alerting. I guess the right-handed pitchers. Andrew Painter is number 1 right-handed pitcher for the Phillies. Last year was Grayson Rodriguez for the Orioles. I think
he didn't play this year.
He didn't play a ton because he had Tommy John, but he finished the year. Shortstops, as we said, of course, Volpe at 1. You had Ellie De La Cruz for the Reds, who's a big prospect at 3. Jackson Holliday's at 5. Another one just drafted. There's a lot of big names out there, especially on the shortstop list. But I mean, I feel like you see that a lot.
Yeah, the shortstops are always the big names. They're never like, wow, look at this.
You can get a shortstop
catcher.
And throw him anywhere.
I guess catcher. I was going to say catcher, but Adley Rutschman kind of broke that mold.
Yeah.
And then I was going to say first baseman, Spencer Torkelson broke that column. So I guess.
Yeah.
Sure, I don't know.
It's just most common. Yeah. But no, there were really wasn't too many other things on that list that I felt were overly important. I think they ranked as well, like best prospects or best farm systems. One that is a little shocking, I always feel, is Dodgers are always somewhat up there, find ways.
And I've never seen them pull a prospect up in...
Or if they... Like, I never... I can't say the last time I know they have, like, a top 10 prospect.
Yeah, I feel like the Dodgers and MLB Network have, like, some fucking deal. Because if they really had prospects, right, when they lost all of, like, when they didn't sign Trey, didn't sign Bogart, like, didn't sign any of, like, the big shortstops this year, I was talking to my friend who's a Dodgers fan, and he was like, oh, we definitely have, like, a prospect or something that they're going to pull up instead, because you still have a strong enough offense that you can fluff around a first-year shortstop.
Yeah.
Clearly they don't, because they picked up the guy from the Marlins.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what is your farm system? But I guess if you can just buy all the best players on the market, you don't need a farm system.
That's facts. and then the only other Yankee thing I have is another list. It's just posted today. They did the top 10. This was a fan pick top 10 second basemans. Most of these lists are a little shaky. Like Ozzy Albies was 2 on this list, but they did have Gleyber Torres at 10.
Ozzy didn't play all year.
Yeah, but Ozzy also is like
a fan favorite.
He's also not the number 2.
No.
Second baseman.
No.
That's really what it was.
I love Ozzy very much, but no.
He is not number 2. But they did have Gleyber at 10. So congrats to him. Thank God it wasn't last year and it wasn't a shortstop list, because he wouldn't have been up there. Speaking of shortstop lists, it didn't come out today.
IKF, number 30.
Number three, actually. No, I'm joking. Up on that, somebody... It's always fun to see comments about that. But they had Peña at 3.
Don't they have Trey Turner at 1?
I think so. I think
Trey Turner is not 6. A number 1 defensive shortstop.
But
sorry, who was at 6?
They had Dansby at 6. But of course, IKF not on the list.
That's so heartbreaking. I'm so upset about that and so shocked and surprised.
Somebody goes, and I saw a comment about it, and they go, wow, they don't have the best shortstop, Tatis, on the list. I'm like, Tatis isn't a shortstop. Like,
no.
Did you miss that news? Tatis is no longer a shortstop.
Three shortstops on their team already, and Tatis is the first one off of that list. They now have 2.
Yeah.
The only Yankee news that I had that I don't know if you saw this or if I'm going to be the one that will break your heart, but Brian Hoke tweeted, Brian Cashman says that Aaron Hicks will likely be that Yankees starting left fielder. Quote, I suspect he will be the guy that emerges because he's still really talented and everything's there.
I'm sorry, I don't like suspicions. I suspect that he'll do well. Okay, well, you know what? You know who did do well? Oswaldo.
Everything's there is the part that's bothering me. Because it's not like his 2021 was really good. We still have frustrations with Hicks in 2021. Like, everything is not there. Everything is not awesome. Nothing is cool when he's a part of this team. Sorry, I did not mean to quote everything is awesome from the Lego movie.
I'm leaving.
And you want to know what I think this is? This is... I think in reaction to him not being able to trade him. So he's trying to like spin it, twist it, turn it. Because correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron Hicks said something at the end of the year where he was like pretty sure that he was not going to be a Yankee, correct?
Yeah.
So he was ready to go. We were all ready for him to go. You couldn't eat a little bit of money to get rid of him. Selfish little stupid man. I have another, oh my God, I totally forgot about this one, but sorry, I did not mean to get distracted. It's just, yes, we signed Rizzo. Yes, we signed Judge. Yes, we signed Rodon, right? That doesn't make changes to our offense. And if you look back at our offense, especially in the postseason, that was part of the problem. Our problem was a lack of left-handed hitters and just a lack of being able to fucking get on base. And yes, sure. Can Aaron Hicks sometimes fill that gap of a lefty? Yes. Is he good at it? No. And it's just, it was not my favorite piece of news to read this week, you know?
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I missed this, but Scotty, I have great news. On Monday, Brendan Cuddy by The Athletic wrote, and I wish I could freaking read it, because it's like an article on his like impossible injury is what they were calling it, of like just snapping his elbow on the mound, how he was assumed to not be able to come back. And now, quote, Michael King believes he's on track to be on the Yankees opening day bullpen on March 30th. Matt Blake didn't dismiss the idea either. And Brian Cashman said the club hopes King will be ready for game one.
Let's go.
Like, every day I contemplate getting an Athletic subscription, because that would have been just such a good story to read. But just seeing that was so like.
Who mentioned whatever a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that he was literally off the mound already.
But 2 weeks ago, he was like, oh, I'm going to probably miss like the first month.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that that bullpen session went a lot better than any of them expected. And
or they got the news that Chapman isn't coming back. So he felt
that probably also doesn't help. But I think it's really interesting because, right, in my brain, as someone who obviously did not snap their elbow on the mound, but like snapped their ankle on a tree during their season, I told my trainer, okay, I want to be ready by April 28th or some date, right? And right, so the player comes up with a date that they want to be ready by. The trainer, Matt Blake, right, anybody like that, has every right to say, probably not, right? I said I want to be back on the 28th. My trainer said, let's think about the week after. Did I lie and say that my foot felt fine? Yes, but that's a different story. The fact that King, Cashman, and Blake all agree that game one is completely feasible and possible is huge, because we talk about this every time that people get hurt. Yes, it's upsetting that they're hurt, but the front office is more concerned about the money that they're wasting.
Yeah.
I don't think King has any like big contract on him, but it's still money being wasted. So for them all to say that he would be ready by the first, pretty importante. But we'll see.
Yeah, just good news to hear.
Just good freaking news to hear. Do you have anything else Yankee related?
I do not have anything else Yankee related.
I do not either. But you want to know what I do have?
What do you have?
The Red Sox's attempt to replace Xander Bogaerts with not a broken old Trevor Story and not pulling Kike Hernandez out of center field. The Boston Red Sox are acquiring shortstop Adalberto Mondesi.
Yeah, Mondesi, yeah, from
the Kansas City Royals. I don't know who the Red Sox gave up. I'd assume prospects, but the passing tweet just says players are being informed.
It was already done. For a player to be named later, mm-hmm. And wait. Oh, sorry, no. Red Sox are reportedly acquiring Alberto Mondesi and a player to be named later for left-handed pitcher Josh Taylor.
Oh, yeah, and he's out of the bullpen. He was, like, actually not terrible for the Sox.
Yeah.
God, I love to see the Sox fall. I feel like this probably was not in the plan, because I think their original plan was Trevor Story, because that's why they signed him. That's why Xander Bogaerts was okay with them signing him. And they would have been in the market for a second baseman, which is a significantly less competitive position, I personally think. The shortstops just always demand significantly more money than second basemans do. But obviously Trevor Story getting old man wrist. Oh no, he's not getting wrist surgery. He's getting Tommy John.
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah. Yes. Because I remember having to explain to some people what that meant and how he got it.
Mondesi last year didn't play much. Only played 15 games. 2021 only played 35 games. 2020 played 59, but that was 2020.
Yeah.
Mondesi is a 244 average. The kid, he has a lot of speed. I'm saying kid. I think he's 27. So he's still
he's
a
like
young.
Kid. He's 36.
Still a little young. He's still a little young.
Younger than Trevor Story playing shortstop.
Yep. But he has a lot of speed. He has a lot of speed. He had in 2019 a league leading 10 triples, 2020 league leading 24 stolen bases. So he has a lot of speed. He just isn't always consistent with his bat. But, you know, right. I think it's somebody to throw at the shortstop position for the Red Sox. It's not exactly. really somebody they're confident in keeping.
I can't say I am all too threatened by the Sox this year. Did you see Vlad Guerrero's comments about how the easiest team and his favorite team to play is the Yankees?
Yeah, I did.
Fucking hate the Blue Jays, but he's so cool.
But also, like, he, like, just... The easiest team. Yeah, no, the Yankees. Oh. That team that you gave up your playoff chances for against.
Have you played the Oakland Athletics before? Have you played the Diamondbacks? Like, hush, hush. Some other trade news. The Minnesota Twins are trading 2022 AL batting champ Luis Arraez to the Marlins for right-handed pitcher Pablo Lopez.
Wild trade.
Absolutely. How mad do you think Carlos Correa is right now?
Absolute wild trade.
So fucking dumb.
Like, I'm so, like, but, like, it's not even, like, it's not, like, it was too one-sided. It just was the most out of nowhere. You're giving up your 2022 batting champion for a pitcher who was very good. Pablo Lopez is very, very good.
He pitches once every 7 days.
Yeah, and you just gave up.
A guy that's in the lineup every single day.
But now this puts in another situation. Let's lead into the next thing. Hey, remember that whole thing that Ozzy Albies, right? No, Gene Segura. Gene Segura is currently a Marlin as well. So that's Gene Segura, who's the second baseman. Luis Arraez, who's the second baseman. And Jazz Chisholm, who's the second baseman.
And Jazz Chisholm says that he will shift to center field with Arraez taking over at second, which again... Where does that leave
Gene Segura? Short.
But did you see what he said to Kim Ng when he said that he would move?
No, I didn't.
He was like, I'll move to center field and I'll win 3 gold gloves. And I was like, respect the confidence, Jazz. Unfortunately,
you will have to compete
with Ronald Acuña Jr. and God knows who else. Like, respect. But I'm going to put you in your place just a little bit. Try your best.
There's a lot of good players out there.
I don't think his shift to center field or the outfield in general will be as chaotic as, I'm just going to use the same guy that I use every time, Miguel Andujar. Actually, a better comparison. I think Jazz will do better in the outfield than Tatis will do in the outfield whenever he's eventually back allowed onto the playing field. Just because I don't know. Something inside me is telling me that Jazz is just going to do better.
He's more of an athlete, I feel.
I mean,
he has a bit more of a build of an outfielder.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Tatis is built like a shortstop, long, skinny, lean, which I guess can sometimes transfer to the outfield, but he just looks like a shortstop. Jazz looks like you could put him anywhere and he'll figure it out because he just has, like, Oswaldo reminds me of, like, a baby Jazz of, like, he's like, just get me on the fucking field. I live in Miami. Just get me on the ball field. And I admire that. The next thing is, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but I just loved their social post. Pittsburgh Pirates posts, tell a friend to tell a friend, he's back, and it's of Andrew McCutchen. And it was just...
No, I liked Andrew McCutchen had a post, and he goes, this is not an old picture, I swear.
So funny. I do think it's interesting because... McCutchen made it very clear. McCutchen, Yankee legend, made it very clear that this was not a retirement tour.
Maybe the Pirates went and said, maybe this should be a retirement tour.
Is he planning on playing baseball? Because he was with the Pirates for a very long time before he came to the Yankees, before he went, I don't even know where the fuck he was.
I think.
The Brewers, you're right. And he was with the Brewers for like 4 or 5 years or something.
Yeah, he was with them for a few years.
Because he was only a Yankee for like, what, two?
One or two, yeah.
Yeah. So he was with the Pirates for all of eternity. Then he came to the Yankees for 2 years, let's say. Brewers for 4 to 5. And now he's going for... That shit never ends. When did Andrew McCutchen make his Major League debut? Now I'm very curious.
I could not tell you, but... It's been a long time.
When did Andrew McCutchen retire? He didn't. So you don't? Do you agree that this is not a retirement tour? Or do you think he's kind of lying?
I think he's kind of. I think that it should be retirement tour. Do I think he's lying? He very much could not be lying. He could say that it's not a retirement tour. It's up to him. I think it should be a retirement tour. I would highly recommend it to him.
I need some quick math from you.
Yes.
Andrew McCutchen made his debut with the Pirates in 2009. Oh, the next question does say how long has he been?
12, 13, 14 years. Going up to 14 years.
He was selected. He has played in Major League Baseball for the Pittsburgh Pirates, San Francisco Giants. Oh, he stopped in San Francisco before he came to us.
Ooh.
New York Yankees, ooh. Philadelphia Phillies, and Milwaukee Brewers.
Stop with the Phillies.
The Pirates selected McCutchen in the first round, 11th pick overall of the 2005 MLB draft. And he made his MLB debut in 2009. Scotty, you were 2 years old when McCutchen was drafted. And he's still going.
God damn.
Obviously, he was named MVP of the National League in 2013. Where he beat out fellow finalist Paul Goldschmidt, also still playing, and Yadier Molina, who is not still playing anymore. They're dropping like flies.
Hey, I'm sorry again, though. Paul Goldschmidt playing first base is a little different than playing outfield.
Oh, 100%.
It's, again, a big age thing. Like, we talked about it. Like, Yadi was insane with being a catcher, being old. Like, positions you can be old in, first base pitcher.
DH.
I was completely threw that out of my mind there. That's really it. I mean, like, you're looking, like, look at what we have now. We're calling Donaldson extremely old.
Okay, well, because he fucking is. He's geriatric.
But he's, what, sorry. 34?
That was 35? Unnecessary. That was unnecessarily aggressive, but he's playing like a 65-year-old.
Oh, yeah, he is. But like,
I know we've talked about it. Idea. My favorite video on the internet is the
37.
15 seconds of Josh Donaldson either swinging and missing at pitches right down the middle or just not swinging.
Yeah. Donaldson's 37. Wow.
Yeah, he's old. Bye, old.
Wow. McCutchen's only 36.
He looks.
But, I mean, that's what happens when you're in the league since 2009. He's been in the league since 2009. Donaldson's been in the league since 2010. So it's just they've been around the game for a long time as well. That I think that's really, like,
they both should go on retirement tours. Josh Donaldson, maybe do it with
Josh
the
Donaldson,
Blue Jays,
do it with
Twins.
Anybody else.
You know, I don't really, we don't host retirees.
Only if you've been here for 3 World Series.
Unfortunately, that's nobody on the team.
Joking. I know. Well, most of our team is not very close to retiring.
That's fair. I have one last thing, unless you've got anything else.
I have one last move.
Oh, you have a move. Go ahead. What's
the move? So somebody that I didn't know was on this team. Jesus Aguilar is agreed to a deal with the Oakland Athletics. Aguilar, who 2 years ago was somewhat a part of the Marlins, a pretty solid part, was on the O's.
Yes. Yes, because Kim Ng got the job and started. That was a part of the Derek Jeter, Kim Ng, let's unbuild to rebuild situation, and then Derek Jeter bailed on it.
Yeah, so Aguilar last year was on the O's, and now has moved to and signed a contract with the A's.
The A's offered a contract to someone? They know how to do that?
Yeah, well, Aguilar, I can't imagine this being much of a contract.
Did you also see that the Angels are no longer planning to sell?
Yes, I did. Interesting. There was a lot of names on there. Apparently. They said like there was like 5 bidders that were like massive.
Interesante. Okay, I've got one last thing.
Go ahead.
Did you see what happened with Clevinger?
Yes, I did.
So, why can I not think of his first name right now?
Mike,
I thought so. I don't know why I was leaning towards Pete. I've been trying to name everybody.
That's
Pete.
A weird one.
I know. Mike Clevinger is currently under investigation by Major League Baseball and is looking into allegations of domestic violence and child abuse. So, really quickly, the Padres, they reached out to, this is from the Athletic, sorry. The Athletic reached out to the Padres for a quote, and they said they had known or heard rumblings of it over the summer, which I'm assuming is part of the reason why they did not re-sign him. And my friend, my Padres friend fan, was very upset. She also has a Mike Clevenger City Connect jersey, so she will be seen ripping that apart. But it was, it's shocking, because if anybody has ever seen Mike Clevenger online, he like is the ultimate little girl dad. But apparently he should I explain what happened?
I
did you read
it's
it?
Alleged, yeah.
So allegedly,
that's it. Right now, this is all come out within the last like 2-3 days, so nothing is overly confirmed.
Yeah, I'm just sharing. Allegedly, he spit chewed tobacco onto his baby, and may have used his hands around its neck. So that's a terrible human, who should go, like I've said many times about these people, to jail. But sometimes people just decide to offer these bad people massive contracts, like the biggest one to a wide receiver ever, Tyreek Hill. But this shit just pisses me off. And that's all I have to say. I'm sure the White Sox were also contacted for a comment, and they said they were unaware of the situation, but obviously support Major League Baseball in their domestic abuse, child abuse, sexual harassment investigation and rules. So, what?
Just say, White Sox, did you know what was happening? Yeah, oh, yeah, we did. That's why we actually signed
like,
him.
Like, they weren't going to be like, you know, like, no one's going to fucking say that, but...
Yeah, we only took like $1 million off his contract after we found out about that.
It's just I don't want to get on this rant again, but it's just disgusting and frustrating that this continues to happen. But we still haven't seen He Who Must Not Be Named be signed, and we're almost there. He might not get signed. Sorry, I'm not a lot of Harry Potter. They keep on using He Who Must Not Be Named, and you know who.
I at least have a few things that are on a more positive note.
Oh, we love a more positive
to
note.
To start off, I saw a post that had the potential Dominican Republic team.
I don't even want to talk about it. But go ahead.
No, it's all right, because they have the 8-hole being Gary Sanchez, so it's fine.
Gary Sanchez, still unsigned.
That's true. So, Starling Marte, Juan Soto, Manny Machado, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Rafi Devers, Jose Ramirez, Jeremy Pena, Gary Sanchez, Julio Rodriguez. That's their lineup. Rotation, the DR rotation, Sandy Alcantara, Luis Castillo, Christian Javier, Luis Severino, Framber Valdez, and Freddy Peralta.
Why should anybody else even try to play that team? Also, completely selfishly, I would like Luis Severino to not play. Just to be careful.
I want him to go to the training and then not play.
Yeah, and then be like, actually, my wife just had a baby. Can't go. Gotta go get better.
And then the other thing, the Hall of Fame dropped. Oh, yes. You know? It really was a boring one.
Yeah, only one person, right?
I want to make sure of this because I found two things. So MLB on Fox posted, and like everybody was saying, Hall of Fame Scott Rolen. He was a Cardinal. He honestly really wasn't like overly impressive from what I've heard. But then MLB posted your Hall of Fame class of 2023, Fred McGriff and Scott Rolen. So I think McGriff might have been a part of one of those other classes that go. That
or
get
was he
involved.
A coach, maybe?
I don't know. I really don't know. I had not heard of this guy. And like,
did you say Fred McGriff?
Fred McGriff. McGriff.
American baseball player. Hold on. Let me read you his little blurb that comes up when you search him. Frederick Stanley McGriff is an American former first baseman in Major League Baseball who played for six teams from 1986 through 2004. His nickname was Crime Dog.
Yeah, I see that.
He was one of the most consistent productive power hitters of the 90s, posting over 80 RBIs every year from 88 through 2002, and became the first player since the dead ball era to lead both league in home runs in the American League in 1989 and the NL in 92. A five-time All-Star, he was named MVP of the 94 contest after his pinch hit home run in the bottom of the ninth inning tied the score at 7-7, with the NL winning in 10 innings. McGriff finished in the top 10 in voting for his league's MVP award every year from 89 through 94, during which time he led Major League Baseball in home runs.
So I found what it was.
I would say he's pretty important.
He got inducted in December.
Oh! Gotcha.
And then Scott Rolen was in this wave.
Gotcha.
So yeah, those two, only two, which is really shocking.
Did you see the list of people who are on the first ballot next year?
I was just looking at that now. I was going to bring that up as well. So for next year, first of all, sadly, no Yankees.
It is what it is.
But
who would have been qualified as a Yankee? I mean, I know that's an impossible question to ask. No clue. But
that's way too much math. there are some very good names. I'm now happy that I'm now reading names that I recognize and I remember playing.
Exactly.
I remember seeing them play. The legend, Adrian Beltre.
Has to.
Joe Mauer.
Has to.
Very likely has to get in. Chase Utley. Jose Bautista. Bartolo.
Yo.
Gotta watch himself. Adrian Gonzalez. Matt Holliday. Victor Martinez. Jose Reyes. David Wright. And Brandon Phillips. Brandon Phillips, I see getting in. David Wright, I see
most
getting
of
in.
Those guys getting
I
in.
I see Adrian Beltran getting in. Yeah. Like, I mean, Joe Mauer has to get in.
Yeah, your questions are what? Maybe you question Jose Reyes. Maybe you question Bautista. But are you questioning Bautista just because you don't like him as a person?
I mean, I don't know. I actually never, like, you see, the issue with most of these guys now is I know how they played.
I remember, but we also saw the ends of their careers.
Yeah.
But also, and I'm not sitting here, like, trying to, like, vet Jose Bautista, but I'm just sitting here because I know that he is probably the most controversial on that list. You can't deny the fact that he changed baseball when he bat flipped for the first time literally ever. I know that that's not what gets you into the Hall of Fame, but we would.
But he has the most legendary clip of all of baseball.
I saw a thread on Twitter the other day that it was like, what is the most like iconic like gif or video from baseball? And like hundreds of the replies were that clip.
That is
a few of them were Rougned Odor punching him in the face, but you know, you win some, you lose some.
I honestly think that that clip may be top five of all sport clips.
Yeah.
It's just a legendary moment.
And he's just, even now with Vlad and Bo Bichette and even George Springer and whoever else that the Blue Jays have, the first person I think of when I think of the Blue Jays is
that motherfucker.
Yeah. Does he follow 7 bajillion people on Twitter? Yes. Am I one of them? Fuck yeah, I am. He follows me on Twitter.
That's actually hilarious.
Again, I know that the Hall of Fame is based on, right, the guy that I just read. An unmentionable amount of accomplishments and standout performances. But I think it's also important, and even if it's not in the Hall of Fame, I think there should be some way to recognize people that were influential to the game, right? Like maybe, I don't know, I can't even like think of an example because everyone that I think of like probably has a pretty good shot of getting in. But like, actually, right, not to take a Yankee, but let's take Nestor, who has this like incredible story, whatever. Like, obviously I'm not going to say obviously because he's early in his career, but like as of right now, you're like, Nestor's not going to the Hall of Fame. He's going to be a Yankee favorite, but he's not going to the Hall of Fame. But I think there should be some way. Cooperstown is a really weird town. We've been there. There's just the Hall of Fame. But if like somewhere else over there, you do like, here are great things that okay baseball players did. So I guess Nestor wasn't a great example. But like so many, right? Not to bring him up because he's had a terrible run of things, but like DeMar Hamlin, right? Was not really on a lot of people's radars before everything that happened. But in reaction to that, there was just so much money donated to a cause that he cared about. And I obviously the future of DeMar Hamlin in the NFL is probably not happening. I'd assume for his safety. But he started so many one conversations about the safety around football, raised so much money for this cause that I feel like right in 15 years, he's only going to be remembered as like his injury, which I don't think is fair because he did so much for all this other stuff. I don't really know what I'm trying to say, if it's coming through, but I think if that there's a guy in Major League Baseball who made such an impact that maybe didn't have the numbers or did something for his, like how Rizzo's good. I was like, how Rizzo has his like Rizzo Foundation, that should be highlighted. But not in the Hall of Fame, because the Hall of Fame is for stats and numbers and facts.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I maybe should be asking for too much, because I think that Jose Bautista should be in there simply for flipping a bat. But I don't know. Anyway, what else?
I had nothing else beyond that. But I mean, the big thing is it's a Hall of Fame. It's really an opinion based situation.
Fame has a lot of different definitions.
Exactly. It's all about, I think the biggest reason is, you know, what gets people in is the impact they had on the game. And so you can take that impact however you like. Maybe that impact is, via their stats or via moments or via, clutch factor, things like that. Like, you can be average, but, you go and you hit 750 through 7 years in the postseason, that might get you in.
Who knows? And this is coming from two people who don't have Jose Bautista's stats at the top of their at their fingertips right now. He might have the numbers to get in.
Oh, I do have one more thing.
Obviously, he had to have the numbers to at least be on the ballot. But
yeah,
Scotty says he has one more thing, even though he just he
didn't. As in this, this literally happened now 43 minutes ago because I got on my phone. MLB posted that the Astros have found their new GM. Dana Brown, who was 2019 through 2022, the VP of scouting with the Braves, is the new GM.
Not gonna lie, that makes so much fucking sense for the Astros to pick up a guy who's like...
Who's from the Braves? Yeah.
No, who has a scouting background.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
You wonder what I'm worried about? He learned from the fucking Braves GM how to finesse fantastic players
contracts.
Stupid contracts. And then we just have to keep fucking dealing with that.
They're just gonna do that. They literally just sign him just to try to get Peña.
Yeah, they're like, we need Peña.
Snatch Peña a deal. Like, snatch 12
years for $7 million. Whoever their fucking right fielder, Kyle, whatever.
Kyle Tucker. I think Kyle Tucker's on contract.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Darn, how upset.
But like half their pitching staff, Yordan.
Fuck.
But it's VP of scouting. That's I don't know. What's VP of scouting to GM is a little far. Chaz.
It's a bit of a leap, Chaz, yeah. It's a bit of a leap, but
yeah, I don't know if VP of scouting would get the whole breakdown of the GM's strategy of swindling.
Well, no, because he might see ceilings. I mean, obviously the GMs get advice from their VPs of scouting as well, but if you're trying to pick up prospects, you might have a different.
This guy, pay him right now. It looks like shit. 5 years from now, all-star.
And they're like, the Astros have signed 16-year-old blah, 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 blah to a
45-year
$4 contract. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll give him until, this is really going to be reassessed around the next trade deadline of, like, did he do anything? Obviously, we've said it 1,000 times. What else do the Astros need to be better?
Yeah, what really much can the GM do in a situation like this is just not fuck up.
Yeah, he's like, and now I'm going to trade my entire infield.
Like the GM, like they won the World Series and fired their GM. They had a bad GM last year and won the World Series.
Exactly. Like
they just go and like the owner of the Astros is just gonna grab the this new GM and just go, these guys, these 10 or whatever it is, don't touch them.
And he's like, but what if I package Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve together? And they're like, that's the one thing you really can't do. He's like, but I will get us 7 new prospects that you won't see for 18 years.
Those guys, don't touch them. Only time you can do anything is if you give them a really shitty contract.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. He does have his job pretty much done. Like, he doesn't have to do anything.
No.
It's so fucking annoying. Everything that goddamn team does pisses me off. Anyway, I've got nothing else. Do you have anything else?
I have nothing else.
Crazy. So if you want to keep updated with any more lists that come out that Yankees are on, give us a follow on Instagram at pinstripe.podcast. Scotty is bang, 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 killing it. And don't forget to like or follow or subscribe, whatever platform you're listening to this on, so that we, yeah, I don't know, you know, when we post next week. For Scotty, I am Lexi, and this has been the Pinstripe Podcast. Bye.